Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Crossed in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me this morning on the broadcast. Today is Monday, December 28th, 2020. We are just 3.5 days away from the end of 2020. And I know most of you are saying, after you take a deep breath, it's got to be better next year. 2021 has got to be better than this year. And of course, I completely agree with you. We are still in the midst of this unbelievable virus pandemic. There has been some light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccinations. And we know that after so much percentage of the population gets that we're on the way to defeating this virus and creating a herd immunity. So there is some light, if you will, in the darkness of this year. I know that come this Thursday evening, Becky and I will be quietly celebrating at home. We'll have all the nice fixings, champagne, wine, cheese, broccoli dip, and all kinds of good things to enjoy and ringing in the new year. But it's going to be a quiet, peaceful celebration. Hopefully, we're not going to have any more terrorist attack. Can you believe that? Christmas, the birth of Christ, a holy day, a holiday, and we wake up to a demented individual in Nashville who decides to park his RV next to the AT&T building there. And then there was an announcement that, hey, everyone needs to evacuate. The bomb is going to go off. Hats off to those brave first responding law officers in Nashville that put their lives on the line. But still, we don't quite know the motive. There has been suggestions. It was parked there because of 5G, and this man was crazy. He was a loan shark person. He was opposed to the 5G technology. I've also heard this one, that the building there, the AT&T building, where all the communications went down, I heard that the reason there was an explosion there was because it's been said that AT&T is going to do an audit of the Dominion voting machine, and that this man was going to silence their results because it would uncover the fraud in this election for sure. That's been another theory. Let me tell you what, you can never know for sure. It's just an attack on humanity. And a peaceful day where people are relaxing and celebrating, here is someone that's going to use the media to become the center of attention. It's demonic. And he was killed in the blast, so we may never know for sure the reason for it. So hopefully this New Year's Eve, and I'm praying, will be a much more peaceful evening. Of course, we're going to get the lecture about gathering together publicly or in large groups. We're going to hear it once again. And of course, there's an element of truth. We should social distance. I agree. We should wear masks, yes. But this is so extreme. And I promise not to go into that today. But I just wish everyone a very peaceful, prosperous celebration and new year. And together, we are praying that 2021 will not be a continuation of 2020. I truly trust and pray with you that God would move powerfully in our new year. And we're hoping and praying that the results are far much more better. Now, it was a week ago here on the Cross in the Desert that I did some special Christmas teaching programs. But last week at this time, December 21st, the first day of winter, was a very important celebration for my dear Iranian friends. It was Yalda night. And unfortunately, I was unable to do something special on that day because I had pre-planned some Christmas programs, some biblical teachings around the birth of Christ. But I said to myself, well, we're not going to pass this up. So here I am a week later. I'm a week late. Sorry, Iranian friends. But I haven't forgotten about Yalda night. And I want to talk a little bit about Yalda night and its meaning and contrast that with some biblical teachings that I think is very, very important. My Iranian friends have unique celebrations. And their celebrations are based upon the Zoroastrian religious system that was once the chief, I guess, religious system in Persia before the Islamic invasion in the 7th century. But most Iranians that are true to the Persian dynasty before Islam always celebrate these focal points in the calendar year. One of them, of course, is Yalda night. The other one is Nowruz in March, March 21st, the first day of spring, which ushers in the new year. And Yalda and Nowruz are a little bit similar in their focus, and I want to help us with that today. You're asking probably, what in the world is Yalda night? Well, Shab-e-Yalda, also known as Shab-e-Chela, is one of the most ancient Persian festivals, which is annually celebrated on December 21st by Iranians all over the world. Yalda is a winter solstice celebration. It is the last night of autumn and the longest night of the year. Yalda means birth. So we understand that it's referring to birth. It's like Nowruz, new beginnings, the new year. So is Yalda. It refers to birth. But in the case of Yalda, it refers to the birth of Mitra, which is the mythological goddess of light. So there is the focus. It's about the birth of Mitra, or Mithra, I should say, the mythological goddess of life. Since days get longer and nights to get shorter in the winter, Iranians celebrate the last night of autumn. It's a renewal of the sun and the victory of light over darkness. On Shab-e-Yalda, here's what happens. People gather in groups of friends or relatives, usually at the home of grandparents or the elderly, to pass the longest night of the year, and they do it by eating nuts and fruits, reading Hafez poems, making good wishes, talking, laughing, all together to give a warm welcome to winter. It's a farewell to autumn, and they do it in celebration. So how is it celebrated, not just in countries where Iranians are refugees, or like here, where they're American citizens? So how is it celebrated in Iran? Well, again, eating is the big focus of Yalda night. Iranians eat nuts, watermelons, pomegranates. It's a very special time. It's a celebration. And they share the last remaining fruits from summer together. So what are those fruits? Well, the fruits of Shabby Eyal, they have significant meaning. Some believe, for instance, watermelon. They eat a lot of watermelon. Watermelon symbolizes the sun by its spherical shape, while others believe that eating watermelon keeps one safe from being hurt by winter diseases. Pomegranate is also a symbol of birth, and its bright red seeds symbolize the glow of life. And you can see this table. It's a beautiful table. I wish you could see it. They have their Havez poem book there. They have their fruits and their nuts, their watermelon in a big glass bowl. And it's all on a table, beautifully decorated table. Now, another thing they do, this is the tradition, reading poems by Hafez, a prominent poet, you know, in Iran. Iran is very big on music and on poetry. And so this is a focus also. It's a tradition. Each of the members of a family or a group of friends makes a wish keeping. They keep it secret, and most of them, not all of them, will open up the book. So in the Iranian tradition in Iran, the eldest member of the family or even friends reads the randomly selected poems loudly. Here's what they think. The poem is like an interpretation of their wish and the way it would come true. And this is what we do on Y'all tonight. And they're interesting to me. I really appreciate this night because they literally will spend all night together, if possible, from the darkness, the longest night of the year, to ring in the light of the new day, the beginning of winter. And the focus is similar to Nowruz. Nowruz, they jump over a fire. It's a self-cleansing thing. To begin the Nowruz celebration, I've seen pictures of Iranians leaping over these little fires. And it symbolizes rebirth. It symbolizes new beginning. And again, the focus is on the victory of light over darkness. So here we have Nowruz and Yalda with similar themes: birth, cleansing, light over darkness. The theme of life over darkness was really interesting, and I want to talk to us this morning about light over darkness, because here in Yalda, just like Nowruz, there is that reoccurring theme of light over darkness. Well, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the theme of spiritual light conquering darkness. Light is kind of a representative of truth. So I want to talk to us about that this morning. What does the Bible say in contrast to Yalda about the victory of light over darkness? Well, we're going to go through this a little bit here. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So if we're looking for the triumph of light over darkness, in contrast to Yalda and Mithra, or Mitra, that symbolizes light over darkness, Jesus is saying, "I am the true light over the darkness, over the philosophies of this world. I represent the light that overcomes the darkness, the bondage. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness anymore. You will have the light of life by following Jesus." Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says, in contrast, "I'm the light, but you as a follower, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And so in contrast, Jesus is saying, as a follower of me, you too share in the light. And you too are that light that symbolizes the victory over darkness. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So the Bible, the Word of God, is the light that illuminates the darkness because it's God's Word. It's God's depository of truth. It lights up everything. It's like when you open up the curtain, see, and let the light come into the room. It's, all of the creatures want to run and hide from the light. And when you open up the curtain, it will reveal dust and decay everywhere. You know what I'm saying. It's like at a crime scene when law enforcement is looking for evidence of a crime. They're looking for blood. They can't see it. It's not visible to the naked eye, but they turn off the light, and with a device, luminol is exposed, and all of a sudden everything lights up, and there's the blood everywhere that they couldn't see with the naked human eye. Well, this is the same way with light. It exposes the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For God said, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And we see here the concept again. As Christians, 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says this about us. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So our former light, our former life was lived in the bondage, if you will, and the corruption of darkness. But when we meet Christ as our Lord and Savior, he calls us out of darkness, the Bible says, into his marvelous light. It's very important, the concept that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It cannot overcome the truth, the light of Christ. 1 John 1:5, verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So if we're looking for the truth, the idea of the triumph of light over darkness, Jesus says, "I am of the world." John chapter 3, verse 19. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." This is the concept again. Jesus is saying judgment has come. Light penetrates darkness, but so many people, blinded by their sin, they love to cower in the darkness. They don't want their lifestyle, their philosophies, their living to be exposed, because the light will show to them that what they believe, their works are evil. Darkness represents the evil, see. And anyone who loves the darkness won't come to the light. He doesn't want his life exposed or changed or cleansed by the light. And there are many more verses we could go into, but you get the idea of what I'm saying here. The triumph of light over darkness. Let's go back and talk a little bit about this concept. In the Gospel of John, we see a lot of the I am declarations of Jesus. One of them, "I am the light of the world." And this points to Jesus' unique divine identity and his purpose. When he declares himself to be the light of the world, he's claiming that he is the exclusive source of spiritual light. No other source of spiritual truth is available to mankind. There are two types of light in the world. We can perceive one or both or neither. The point being, when we are born into this world, we perceive physical light, and by it, we learn of God's handiwork in the things that we see. However, although that light is good, there is another light, a light that is so important that the Son of God had to come in order to both declare and impart it to men. And I've just quoted to you, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." This is an allegory used by our Lord, and it speaks of the light of his truth. You remember what Jesus said? "I am the way and the truth and the life." Well, the light speaks of his truth, the light of his word, the light of eternal light. Those who perceive the true light will never walk in spiritual darkness. So again, this is an allegory to point to a spiritual truth. For instance, you take a candle into a room to dispel the darkness. You know what happens. You know when you go to the Christmas celebration, they sing Silent Night. Everyone holds the candle up. It's very beautiful. Well, the light of Jesus Christ is taken into the darkness of our sin, because that sin engulfs our heart and lives. And when we are exposed to the light, we have arrived at the truth. We have received eternal life. We have escaped from the darkness of corruption. So this beauty of sunlight, you look up and you're blinded. You can't look directly at the sun or you'd be blinded. Well, in the same way, the blinding Shekinah glory and light of God is healing. It exposes our sin, but it heals it when we become followers of Jesus. And this is beautiful. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." There's a promise. The followers of Christ will never walk in darkness. They will enjoy and have an assurance of salvation. As true followers of the light, we will not follow the ways of sin. We're not going to live that way anymore. Remember, we've been called out of darkness into light. But Jesus wants us to understand that not only is he the light of the world, but his followers are too. Just as he came as the light of the world, he commands us to be lights too. So we reflect his glory. We reflect his goodness. When we walk in truth, in light, we are reflecting that light and spread it to others. And we reflect it so that it can be seen. And those good deeds we do points people to who God is. And it's a witness of who we are in a sin-cursed world of darkness. So I thought you might understand and enjoy this comparison. It's a very, very sacred night for Iranians. I wish I could spend that time with them and enjoy that celebration. But there is a profound difference in the meaning of Yalda and in Christianity. And here, with the celebration of Yalda and the idea of the triumph of darkness, a light over darkness, it's an opportunity to see the true light that Jesus talks about when he says, "I am the light of the world." Well, I want to spend some time now, a few minutes that I have, and I want to feature a song that really talks about what we've been thinking about and meditating on this morning, the triumph of light over darkness. This is from a Christian rock band from many years ago, and this is a song on one of their projects that talks about that we are the light of the world. This is Servant. We are the light on the cross in the desert. Let's listen.
I believe in a love that can honor and love the unlovely. I felt the love he offered me. And so I dream of a day when we feed all the men who are hungry, all those who hunger for God's word. But I can't wait anymore when he calls us to carry his message to the world. We are the light. We are the light. We are the light of the world.
That is the rock band Servant from many, many moons ago, singing about "We are the light, we are the light of the world." Been talking about y'all tonight, this morning on the cross in the desert, and showing the contrast between, I guess you could say, two competing religions on the concept of light over darkness. Now, the one thing I want to make very clear, I am not saying, well, in y'all tonight, Mithra, the Persian god, speaks of light over darkness, and here in Christianity, we speak of light over darkness, and get to give the impression that Christianity is just another religion with the concept of triumph of light. No, 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 no. We need to be very, very clear here and respectful and say, no, Jesus is the true light. It's not a competing light, one among many's. Just as the idea that Christianity is just another pathway to God. No, no, no. Jesus is the true light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to make that very, very clear. However, when we've talked about Yalda, and we talked about the concept of light over darkness, we need to pause here. We as Christians have a very serious responsibility to be light over darkness in our lifestyle. We shouldn't take that casually. And we're not just talking about a yearly celebration where we recognize this. No, this is a daily focus. Let me explain what I mean. In 1 John 1, verse 5, the Apostle John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So we see very clearly that the concept of light over darkness is because of who God is. There's no darkness in him. Now, here's the responsibility if we're followers of Christ, disciples, Christians, and we are the light of the world. Here's a huge responsibility for us. John wants to make sure we understand this. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's what I'm saying. We're responsible if we claim to be followers of Christ. If we say we are the light of the world, it better be evident in our lifestyle. We can't have it both ways. We can't claim to be followers of Christ and then just continue living anyway. John makes it very clear. If we say we have fellowship and yet we're practicing deceit and sin, we are lying. We are not walking in the light. We are not practicing the truth. So I'm trying to say we have a heavy responsibility to be those that walk in truth. And that's why John says in 1 John 2, verse 7, he makes it really clear about this so we can't misunderstand it. "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment," nothing new, "but an old commandment that you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." Well, but at the same time, it is a new commandment I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So John makes it very clear. Don't claim to love God if you hate your brother, if you hate people, if you have a vengeance, a revengeful spirit toward other people. Your brother can be your Christian friend, but more specifically, it is humanity. So when we claim we're walking in fellowship with God, and yet it's very evident that we have hatred instead of love for people, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, but we are still walking in the darkness. Jesus made it very clear that the identifying characteristic of his followers is love. Now, love speaks the truth. Love doesn't just warm itself up to try to get along with everyone and don't rock the boat. That's not love. Love speaks what is true. So we don't stand back and just pretend everything is fine. Let's all sing kumbaya and get along. That is not what John is saying. But what he is saying is how we treat people. If there is not a genuine care and compassionate spirit and love for humanity, but yet we claim to be Christians. We're deceiving ourselves. And we're still, John said, we're still walking in the darkness. And in 1 John, this letter is really, it's very thought-provoking. It gives us a litmus test to see if we're really truly in Christ. Because further on down, he says, do not love the world. Well, now, wait a minute, John. You just said to love humanity, and then you're saying don't love the world, but the things in the world, the philosophy of the world. Don't embrace the philosophy of the world and try to say, I'm a Christian, because you can't. You need to go against the flow. You know, you need to beat the system. You need to stand against the philosophy. So if you say you love Christ, you say you love God, then don't love the world philosophy. What's in the world? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and the pride and possession. The love of God overcomes all of that. Now, of course, we do it all by grace. This is not a performance treadmill. We're energized by grace. And so we don't need to be legalistic about this. But the point is that your attitude towards the philosophy of the world, the love of possessions, the love of the philosophies, you know, the whole idea, sleep around with whoever you like, you know, that's what love is. No, it's not. So don't love the world, because if you do, you're still walking in the darkness. And the world is passing away, it says, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So the epistle of John, the first epistle, is very, very confronting. Because Jesus himself says, if you love me, keep my commands. Now, we do it imperfectly. We still stumble because we're human, and we're still grappling with the sin in our life. But the fact is, if we're truly his disciples, there's an obedience there. We're standing against the things that offends God. And we should say, create in me, O God, a clean heart, you know, so you don't walk in sin. And so, in fact, 1 John 3 goes on to say, if you make a practice of sinning, then you really aren't a Christian, if you continually just practice it. So what we're learning this morning on the cross in the desert, and it's not a difficult concept at all, is that there's the true light of life. That true life is found in Jesus. Jesus not only claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, he demonstrated it by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. A deceiver will not be raised by God from the dead. God vindicated the teachings of Jesus by raising him up from the grave on the third day. So the point being is that what Jesus taught is true, because he was raised from the dead. He is Lord and Savior of the universe. He is Lord of heaven. And so as we ponder this morning and think about these concepts, we've learned that there is a concept in Yalda of light over darkness. But we found that true light over darkness is found in the uniqueness of Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have. So my question to you this morning is really simple. Do you want the light in your life to overcome the darkness? Do you have that true light in your life this morning? Or are you walking in darkness, thinking that you have light and truth? More than, my gosh, I guess 41 years ago, I opened up my heart to the true light one night. I responded to an invitation by my pastor in a church. At that time, it was a small little shopping center. Today, it's like a mall. It's huge. But I responded 41 years ago to the true light, Jesus Christ. and my life has been miraculously transformed. It's not that it's been without trials or problems or battles with sin. It certainly has. But I have a purpose and I have an identity to my Lord and Savior who gave me truth and gave me victory over the darkness in my life. All of us struggle with addictions, a darkness, whatever the problem may be. Maybe this Christmas you are struggling against a problem, an addiction, and you feel like the darkness is just swallowing you up and that you really have no way of escape. But I can say to you, you do. It's not found in yourself. It's found in Christ, who invites you as the light of the world, the source of all truth, the source of life and light. He invites you to come to him. He says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants to take the burden of darkness and sin that has consumed you. He wants to take that from your life right now, and he wants to give you truth. He wants to wash away and cleanse you from the guilt of sin. He wants to come in and recreate you and give you a new heart and a new spirit, a real victory over the darkness, a real moment of celebration when you step out of darkness into the light. I can testify of that. I can tell you it's changed me because it changed me forever. 41 years ago, I was a religious person, but being religious and sincere doesn't necessarily mean that you're on the right pathway. Religion leads you to more darkness and more struggles, but a relationship with God through Christ leads you to peace, fulfillment, forgiveness, and true purpose in life. That's what I discovered more than 41 years ago today. And I can testify to you that Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. And he does take us out of the darkness of sin and gives us the light of life. I want to thank you so much for tuning in this morning and listening to my teaching. I'm really praying you have a very peaceful and successful new year. We are looking forward to the eradication of this virus in 2021. Have yourself a great, safe week, and I will see you again this Thursday for a special New Year's broadcast on the Cross in the Desert. God bless you. Have a great week.